Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend, then it's going to get warm. In fact, we're looking at near 80 on Wednesday for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. And don't forget, do not forget about that meet and greet with the former Penn State players. Trey Bauer, Wally Richardson, Keith Conlin, Tim Sweeney, among others, that'll be at Penn's Tavern coming up on Tuesday evening, the night before the tournament. So Tuesday evening, Penn's Tavern will be the meet and greet. Okay, Tuesday evening, Penn's Tavern, meet and greet. Then the tournament is on Wednesday at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. So meet and greet with the Penn State players. Penn's Tavern Tuesday evening. Great atmosphere, great food. It'll be a great place. Just a really informal. I mean, Trey will tell all his 86 national championship stories. Keith, I mean, he'll tell all of his 1994 stories. Wally, of course, has plenty of stories. Tim Sweeney, all on hand for the meet and greet at Penn's Tavern on Tuesday night. The tournament is on Wednesday at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. By the way, well laid out store with plenty of room to operate and also plenty of help to get cases to the car if you need it. Plenty of free parking too. And of course, there's the pickle bar, which indeed is second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Giannis gets it done to force a game 7 in Milwaukee.
And here's Giannis. Kupo continues to stack them up here tonight. Brogdon with the left. Giannis with the rebound. And it goes! Antetokounmpo! We have a game 7 in Boston.
And that will be on Saturday. That'll be tomorrow. The Celtics and the Bucks in a game 7 at TD Garden in Boston. Home team has won every game in the series so far. Game 7 will be coming up tomorrow. All right. On Saturday, blue-white game, we had a lot of fun. And Monday, we played some of these. We played them early in the show. You may not have heard them. And if you didn't get a chance to hear them, well, then shame on you, really. I mean, seriously. And we were able to talk to Super Bowl champion Stefan Wisniewski, Michael Robinson, and also with Keegan-Michael Key. Stefan Wisniewski joined us with the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Stefan Wisniewski's on the sideline. He had a great moment in Minneapolis. It was called winning the Super Bowl. Congratulations, Steph.
Thanks, guys.
Young offensive lineman, for example, you've got a guy like Michael Mennett who's out here getting, he's been working with the first group. What were some of the, what was part of the learning curve of being an offensive lineman trying to get used to playing on this level?
Well, the biggest difference, obviously, high school to college is everyone you block is very big, very strong, very fast. In high school, you can really get away with kind of having some sloppy technique and just being bigger and stronger than everybody. But you get to this level and you really got to develop your technique, your footwork, your pass set, You got to learn as a pass blocker not to lean, or guys will just throw you on your face and go around you. Playing with better leverage, too, I think you can get away with playing high in high school. Those are just some of the basics. And then, obviously, mentally, you know, there's a big adjustment. High school offenses are very simple, and then you're going to move to college and have a lot more to learn.
How long did it take to set in for you mentally after every stop along the way that you're a Super Bowl champion?
You know, it kind of hits you in waves. I think the parade was kind of one of the bigger moments where it's like, oh my gosh, like there's 5 million people out here on the street screaming for us because we won. And that was one of the most fun days of my life, the parade, just kind of soaking it in. But just doing different events and being announced as Super Bowl champion, it's like, oh my gosh, that's me. Like I'm a Super Bowl champion. It's pretty awesome. Really, really blessed. Had an amazing year. Just grateful for being able to be a part of such a great team and really just had a blast with it.
Steph, what was going through your mind on that last drive when Brady had the football?
Well, they had it on their own 8 with about a minute left, and I'm a math guy. I'm like, all right, we got like a 90% some chance of winning here, but, you know, it's Tom Brady, so right. Maybe those numbers change if he's got the ball. And, man, when, you know, he chucks up a Hail Mary from the 50, just thinking, please hit the ground, please hit the ground, please hit the ground. Feels like that ball's up there forever, right? And gets hit, like tipped around, knocked around. And you're like, is it down? Is it down? Is it down? And you finally see it on the ground, like look at the double zeros on the clock, like look back at the ball, look back at the clock, and then you just look around and you're like, wait, it's over? It's real? We really won the Super Bowl? And it was an unbelievable experience running around with the confetti and getting the trophy and got to lead the team prayer after the game, which was an amazing experience. And just a lot of really cool moments.
Well, you know those Philadelphia fans are going to expect you to repeat. You know that.
Hey, you know what? We got a lot of guys back, and we'll be certainly giving all we got to try to do it again. I'm excited. Probably most optimism I've had heading into a season in a long time, just knowing the team that we have and knowing what we're capable of. So,
well, you're a big part of it, and the Wisniewski name has been a big part of great success on and off the field here for decades. Stefan, you're a credit to that and to the university. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Stefan Wisniewski, the Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles.
Steph, by the way, was the honorary captain for Saturday's scrimmage at Beaver Stadium. Michael Robinson, you know, silver football winner from the Chicago Tribune, just like Saquon Barkley. Of course, led Penn State to a number 3 ranking and an Orange Bowl championship, as well as a Big Ten championship in 2005. We had a chance on Saturday to catch up with old friend Michael Robinson, now with NFL Network.
What's up, guys? What's going down, man? What y'all doing up there?
It's about time, Michael. Jeez, great to hear from you.
Great to hear from you guys, too, man. As you know, I'm a big fan of both of you guys. You guys do an amazing job. I've learned a lot, especially Steve. You're one of my professors. You taught me everything I know.
Well, don't put that on your resume, okay?
Well, that puts you into the category of been able to beat the odds. All right, they give the ball to Brown. Brown over the 25 to the 27, taken down there. Michael, you look at the pure athletes. We talked about the draft coming up with the guys that were just honored here. You've taken a long look at those guys. What does that tell you about the talent that's been able to be amassed here at Penn State?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, what Coach Franklin has been able to do, especially the situation he walked into, to be able to get the caliber of athletes he's brought to our institution, I mean, it's just amazing. And then when you talk to these guys, I've had a great opportunity to have conversations with a lot of the guys, and they're great people. And to me, that's what the tradition here is all about, and that's what kind of connects all the generations, is that we recruit, we bring in great people with great personalities. And to me, that's the biggest thing of all.
Well, Michael, how would you have loved to have run this type of offense when you were here?
Man, do not get me started. I probably would have made $2 more million up front. You know, I probably would have been drafted in the late first or second, not the fourth. But
other than that,
you know, it's all good. Look, this offense is amazing. It's built for the movement type of a quarterback. I think Trace McSorley, he's done a great job with his motion. He's improved in that this offseason. And it's just all about getting better every day. It seems like he came out on that first drive with the thought to get better, and he did.
Michael, it was interesting. I was talking to Jordan Hill, and he said that he went to his first meeting with the Seattle Seahawks, and he walked in there, speed of a 4 o'clock meeting. He was there at 3:45. The second guy that walked in was you. So what does that tell you about how you were taught at Penn State about the little things that end up being big things?
Well, Jack, you guys already know. Coach Paterno, I mean, you take care of the little things and the big things take care of themselves. And something like showing up to a meeting early is the little things. And the big things is that the coaches pay attention that you're there early. You get something extra out of being there early and you make a name for yourself and create a career in the National Football League. So that's the little things, taking care of the little things and the big things taking care of themselves. That's something that every athlete, no matter who coached them, seems to get when they come out of this football program.
You're special, always have been, always will be. You're doing great work at the NFL Network. Thanks so much for everything, Michael.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys, man.
Michael Robinson, special. He did take my class at Penn State, as a matter of fact, and was, I'll be honest with you, was outstanding. He's one of the better students I've had along the way. We did I'll tell a quick story, then we'll get to Keegan-Michael Key here. In the class, they used to limit my class to 10. All right, now it's changed. Sometimes I get 23, 24, sometimes I get 15. But I used to limit my class to 10. Well, it turned out in Michael's class, there were 5 women and 5 men. And I always ask at some point, like, we need to do a talk show segment. And I said, you can do it as a group. You can do it like PTI style, paired one against another. You can take calls, or you can do it like sports reporter style, like Dick Schaap used to, or Mike Lupik used to, whatever. As the lead, and then you lead sports reporters into various topics and get their opinions. Well, the 5 women in the class suddenly said, can we do a project together? And I said, yeah, sure, I guess you can. Well, the 5 guys said, we want to do one together too. Okay, that meant that there were going to be 2 projects. All right, fine. Well, the 5 women do their project, and they're really good. I mean, really good. I thought they did a great job because they got everybody into the mix. The 5 guys, 3 of the 5 struggled and 1 really struggled to the point where I had trouble grading him because the guy wasn't in it. The guy that saved the project was Michael. Michael saved the project because you needed to have somebody. And see, this is the kind of guy he is, that leadership component. Leadership isn't just coming forward on a football field. It comes through in a moment like this. And they started to meander at the beginning of the project, and then he took the project over. And when he took the project over, he saved the project. I was really impressed by what he did. I've never forgotten that. And I've told students in subsequent classes about that and how important it is to understand the leadership part of it when you're in something like that. All right. Fun time on Saturday because Keegan-Michael Key was on hand for the scrimmage on Saturday. Entertaining, but at the same time, you could tell the entire experience meant something to him.
Okay, well, now we're going to go to the head coach of today's game, Keegan-Michael Key. It is great to have you back home at Penn State. Oh, he's just coming on now? As soon as we get him on. There he is.
How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Steve Jones, Jack Hamm, talking with the coach in waiting, Keegan-Michael Key.
The coach in waiting. Steve Jones, nice to meet you. Jack Hamm, an honor, an absolute honor.
Well, I saw you bring that team out at the beginning of the second half, and I'm falling out of my chair over here, I'm telling you. You have them all down. You have it down.
I do. It's my new lease on life. This guy's giving me a new – I think I have a new partner. I think we're going to call the new partnership Key and Franklin. Franklin and Key if he wants to go first. It's fine with me. I don't know. It's okay. Franklin and Key.
If you're on this campus, it's going to have to be in that order.
I think you're right. well made. Good point.
What is it taken for you to just take those little nuances and turn it into something that's fun?
Part of it is what I learned here at Penn State. When I went to dialect class and accent class, you learn how to emulate different regionalisms. And James is from the great state of Pennsylvania. And there are certain vowel changes and syntactical things that he does that I've been able to pick up from my actual training, which was really, really helpful.
Sean Clifford back. He dumps it off. It's complete to the 30-yard line and rolled over the 30 and down to the 36-yard line. It'll be third down there. How much fun has this experience been for you?
This is a bucket list experience for me here. This is fantastic. I mean, I've been here before, but never in this capacity. And it really means a lot to me. The atmosphere is amazing as it always is. It's as amazing now as it was when I was at school here. It's just top notch. This is top 10 experience of my life. It really is.
I have to ask you about the Times Square thing.
Yes.
About Georgia State and putting in the tuba player and so forth.
Yeah.
How long did it take to come up with something like that, or did you do it on the fly?
I did it about 15 minutes earlier. So does that count as on the fly?
Yes, it does.
It's on a takeoff. On the fly. It's kind of at the takeoff.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought it's something that actually occurred to me in my mind probably earlier in my life. It's like, I always used to watch people do stuff like this when there was a blowout.
Right.
You go, is there a sixth string? Are there any sixth string players? And if so, who is that? Is it just the English department? Maybe it's just the English department. And I think it kind of just came back to me during that. And then the day afterwards, Coach, after the Iowa game, which was amazing, right?
Right, right.
Coach texts me and he goes, I'm over here getting just a ton of bad texts from people. I don't know what's going on. These people thought I was you. And I'm like, hey, listen, some folks.
True story. First of all, Schuster steps up. Michael delivers downfield. Over the head of Thomas and incomplete. Result for Colton Maxwell with Jabari Butler on the coverage. I was sitting in the restaurant that morning, and he comes over and sits down next to me. James, he says, look at all the tweets I get. They think it's me. See, he says, Steve, you've got to tell them I'm in Iowa.
I mean, I'm pretty good, but I can't be in two places at once. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It was really something else. So a testament, I guess. It was really sweet of him to say that. I'm like, I feel bad for you, James, but a testament to my talent. Or at least my training from Penn State, you know.
My goodness. Okay, what's the best play you've called today?
The best play I called today would have been 63, Razorback Twins.
Yeah.
And then I called another play, which is called Pie, 48 Blueberry, Twips, yeah. T-W-I-P-S, Twips.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you have trips, but they're all cross-hatching past each other, and then they stop, and then the middle, the X receiver stops, does a number from the Thriller video, Michael Jackson, to show distraction, and the other guys, there's one guy on a slant, another guy on a jet.
That explains the moonwalk on that play.
Right.
Great. Hey, absolute pleasure for us to have you on. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes for us. Everyone is thrilled to have you back here. You an absolute credit to this place in every way, shape, and form.
My pleasure, Steve and Jack. Thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Take care.
Hope we get to do it many more times.
Right. We hope so, too. Thanks so much.
All right, gentlemen. Take care.
Keegan-Michael Key. That was fun having him on. But you know what was interesting about the interview was, yes, there was the funny stuff about the coach in waiting, the funny stuff about the plays that he called during the game. I mean, which is the personality. We talked about Times Square as well when he did that before the Iowa game. But you notice, but there were also a lot of serious moments in that interview about what it takes for him to do dialects, about how he comes up with a routine. What it meant for him to actually be back there and be a part of what was going on. You could tell right away how touched he was to get an opportunity to talk with Jack. Because Derek went over and got him, and he said, you know, I probably just said talk to the radio team. And I didn't think, you could tell he did not know right away I was going to be talking to Jack Ham. And he said, wow, it's an honor. So you could tell a lot of it meant something to him. And it was interesting in his post-game press conference when he joined James Franklin up front that he was really serious about what all of this means to him. And he's put together a great career. I mean, let's face it, if you've seen him, you know, you have either heard the Key and Peele moments or you've heard him or seen him in movies, where he'll get into a movie, and I feel like he's carrying scenes. He's a pretty special guy in terms of the talent that he has. But I just found it was interesting. Instead of doing, I don't know how many minutes was that, 4 or 5 minutes with him, you would have expected, in terms of expectation, that it would be one attempt at laughs after another. And instead, he got really serious with us about how he does things and what the experience means to him. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Final half hour of the show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show is brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wide aisles, plenty of room to operate, plenty of help to get cases to the car. Oh, by the way, free parking, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and wagers are settled at the pickle bar. That's right, led by the barrels and the dills, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ryan Shazier walked out on stage last night to announce the Steelers' pick, and the Steelers also dealt Martavis Bryant to the Raiders. So, great news on both fronts. All right. We now bring in the king of all kings, the prognosticator of all prognosticators, from a hidden bunker somewhere in Connecticut, my brother.
Live from Studio 22.
Studio 22.
Yeah. But well, there's Baker, no work going on. The boys work a half day today.
Oh, there you go. Very nice.
Yep.
Where do I sign up?
But Karen's here. Good. Karen says hi. So
hi, Karen.
Karen, hello.
They say hi. That's secretary. Good office manager, I'm sorry.
Yes, office manager.
That's right. There's a lot to manage here.
Well, earlier this week was Administrative Professionals Week, so hopefully you took care of her.
Yeah.
Something tells me
hear what you're saying.
Somebody, something tells me somebody's getting lunch today.
Yes.
All right. So, Baker Mayfield went first overall last night to Cleveland. All right. And if you want to talk about a guy with guts, grit, yeah, he's got all that. All right. So that
he's
part.
He's going to need all that.
Yeah, he is. Here are two things about him where if I'm a Cleveland fan, I get concerned. Number one is, now, in this, let's go with a positive. Baker Mayfield is an awesome front runner. Once he gets to the lead, he's pretty good at putting you away. So that's awesome. Which brings us to the second part. Name me the game over his 3 years of starting at Oklahoma where he brought his team back. Anybody? Anybody see him bring his team back last drive of the game? Iowa State at home? No, lost that game. Georgia, three chances. Rose Bowl? No, lost that game. Hasn't done it. And then here's the other part. I'm sick and tired of hearing everybody say, I watched this tape. I watched this tape. Did you watch the Texas tape? Why do you bring up the Texas tape, Steve? Oh, quite simply, Texas runs NFL schemes. He was confused. I mean, you watch it, confused. I'm not, now, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes like forces, balls, interceptions, things like that. But you watch the Texas tape the last 2 years, he has no clue what he's doing out there against them.
I mean, when you think of the two games with Baker Mayfield, obviously that semifinal game against Georgia and the away game at Ohio State last year, where it was a big statement win for the Sooners. But you're right. Were those two games where he led the team back to a win from coming from behind?
So Ohio State, he's in front.
But Ohio State, he's in front. This is why the Cleveland Browns took him. Right?
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns have had 25 quarterbacks in the last 20 years, something like that. I mean, that they're a rotten organization. They've only won one game in 2 years. I mean, this is the athletic death of Baker Mayfield. So, wrong choice for them.
Well, you hear about Hugh Jackson. Oh, he's the quarterback guru. I mean, he's the quarterback whisperer. So, yeah, let's see what he can do with Baker Mayfield. I mean, I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen.
Who was his quarterback before he took the Cleveland job? Andy Dalton? Really? Really?
That's right, because he was the OC at Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really impressed.
Good for Cleveland. Well, I'm not anymore. I'm just as concerned for Barkley. So
I think Barkley's in a great spot for this reason. He's got a legit quarterback, and in getting Odell Beckham Jr. back to go with Sterling Shepard. Now the Giants
they need
have
an offensive
ways.
Line.
Yeah, but getting Solder helped. I mean, Solder, that's a big time left tackle there. Because they got to protect Eli, I mean, above all. Because Barkley as a pass receiver is going to be, in my opinion, a 600 to maybe 800-yard pass receiver out of the backfield, let alone the rushing yards.
Well, don't underestimate the fact that got a new head coach. You know, that their Giants have a lot of issues right now that have not been fixed. And who knows what this head coach is going to do. His record's not so great either. So,
well, yeah, but Coach Cleveland.
I feel more confident.
It's all circling back to the factory of sadness.
He's the head coach of Cleveland. How is he supposed to do?
If Tom Coughlin was there, fine, you know. But Giants have too many question marks. And like we were talking before we came on, that you don't want to waste this kid's talent. I wish he went to a team that had an established offensive line. I wish he went to Pittsburgh. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, but here's the problem. The reason you get to pick second is because you're not good. I mean,
I think this kid's so good, but the speed in the NFL is so much faster. He's not going to be able to just outrun people. He's going to need help and then have his breakaway speed. It's not going to be like college. And it happens to a lot of great running backs out of college. They get on a team that can't block for them, and they're just running into a brick wall. So I hope that doesn't happen to him.
I think he'll be okay. I mean, the draft is young because this is a draft that is, when it comes to the offensive line, actually was heavy on offensive linemen, probably from rounds 2 through 5. So actually, tonight and early tomorrow, you can actually draft linemen, because this was not a first-round draft for linemen.
Did you watch it last night? I was going back and forth between Pittsburgh and that. The NFL was turning this into a dog and pony show. And then ESPN this morning, they're doing a fashion thing for the red carpet, judging everybody's suits. And I'm like, come on, just, you know, you're making these guys stars before they even played. I mean, what's the percentage of first-round picks that actually make it, you know?
And well, I watched NFL Network last night because of Mike Mayock. I'm listening to, I heard one thing with Mel Kiper Jr. going on and on about Josh Allen. And, you know, you got to go out and watch people in person. I'll say this, of the 32 guys picked last night, I sat down and looked at it. I actually saw 11 of them in person. I saw a third of the guys in person, and that includes Josh Allen. Awesome arm, rocket. I mean, really can throw it. Actually moves pretty well. But he's got the accuracy of Tim Kelly. And now who's Tim Kelly? He was our quarterback at Enfield High, and Timmy wasn't accurate. I mean, seriously, he can't. A big part of the game, and this is where I thought Bill O'Brien did a wonderful job with Deshaun Watson. A big part of what the NFL is now is accuracy. You've got to be able to lead guys. You talked about the speed of the game. You've got to be able to lead them into yards after the catch. And that's where Allen, I mean, you know, again, there's Mel going on measurables and blah, blah, blah. Look at a tape, Mel. Does he lead anybody into anything? You got to look at the tape. Where does he put the ball? Okay, and in the NFL, it's where you put the ball, not just having a rocket arm and what the measurables tell you.
Who do you think is the best quarterback coming out?
The guy that is ready to play now, like right out of the gate because of how he throws and so forth, is Rosen. The best quarterback to me is Darnold.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold, I think, is the best. Because Darnold,
they were concerned about his accuracy in the camps and stuff. But, yeah, he's got a good NFL DNA. He plays the game the way the professionals like him to play, so I thought he would go first.
I thought he would go first too. But again, you have to have the ability in this league to be accurate. You know, what's your footwork like in the pocket, and then what does that lead to in terms of your ability to deliver the ball in a spot where then people can make a play? And those are certain elements that you have to look at quarterbacks today, and it's not just measurables like how far you throw it out, hard you throw. I mean, all that's perfectly fine, but you got to look at some tape and to see what a guy actually does. Allen has the ability to lock on one guy and doesn't look off other guys. He's very good with his primary guy. He's not good with his secondary guys.
I saw
him play Eastern Michigan, for goodness sakes. I did not see him play Alabama.
See, that's what's tough with college. I mean, you can be a great college quarterback, and it does not transcend into the NFL at all. So, I don't.
Well, this is what gets me about the new NFL, though. You know, okay, everybody, everyone wants to think. Stop thinking so much. Your primary positions now are quarterback, defensive end, and left tackle. I mean, those are the ones of the quote value positions. Okay, let's take a look at the value position for a moment. Let's start with defensive end. If you have 2 sacks in a game, right, you are celebrated as having a great week. If you get 3, you're the defensive player of the week. Okay, running back, not so much value. You do know that in the 100 plays, he's going to touch the ball 25 times, right, between receiving and rushing. Let's say that's a quarter of the plays. But you're celebrating the dude that's 3 sacks, that's 3% production. Really? Really? Interesting.
Yeah, but he does.
And that's the new NFL. Stop thinking. These guys think too much. Like, they're trying to act like they're smarter than everybody else. Look, you go with the best player there, and then you have a need, fill the need. All right? And I thought, Cleveland did that with Denzel Ward with the fourth pick, which surprised everybody. They needed a corner. They got one.
I agree with you to a point, but there's also the Lawrence Taylor theory. You've got that great defensive end. You change the offense and how they operate.
Oh, well, he changed everything because now they were using running backs and tight ends because he was so exceptional. Yeah. But that's Lawrence Taylor.
Well, I know, but
where was the Lawrence Taylor in this draft?
Will change your schemes. You can't just do this, or you've got to bring a tight end in to block him. You've got to change how you operate if he's that good. You know.
Yeah, if he's that good, and there is not a guy in this draft that's that good. There hasn't been a Lawrence Taylor in a long time.
I
mean, what's interesting is that the quarterback part.
McSorley will go next year.
McSorley became a 67-68% passer last year, and it wasn't one of those, I got to stop and wait for the ball either. See, he is a very interesting prospect in terms of how he gets evaluated.
Where do you think Gesicki's going?
Gesicki is a guy that he's going to go in the second round tonight.
Yeah.
I don't have the draft order in front of me. I know New Orleans really likes him a lot. I know the Patriots like him.
Yeah. Yeah, because they got issues.
Patriots like Deshaun Hamilton, too, in the slot.
Yeah.
Hamilton's going tonight, too.
Yeah. It's a good draft. It's a fun draft. I just wish they wouldn't turn it into a dog and pony show. It's just, you know, I think they did what they did to protect the commissioner. Because
they brought out the Cowboys greats.
Yep. So they wouldn't boo the commissioner.
100,000 Dallas fans ignored that they were on the stage.
How'd that work out for you?
Let's protect the commissioner.
Well, Kevin, you talk about dog and pony show. Now that you have the draft in a stadium for the first time, and they might want to rotate it city by city each year, the commissioner wants to, you know, try to share a piece of the pie to some of the bigger, you know, major markets in the NFL. Who knows when it'll go back to New York?
Yeah, it's a draft, and they turn it into a fashion show, you know. These guys aren't stars yet. They were good college football players. That's it.
Well, look at Roger Staubach. He said he found out he got drafted the next day reading the Washington Post, and then it's not like he played right out of college. He had to go right in to serve for 4 years.
Yeah. And then he came out, he was a superstar. But it's just times have changed. I don't think it's good to take a 21-year-old and make him feel like he's a rock star when he's not. You know, he hasn't played a down in the NFL yet. It's just about signing a contract and getting picked by a team. But what you guys know better than me, what's the percentages of those top number one draft picks that are actually going to be playing in the league in 2 years?
First round picks 2 years from now, I'd say 27 out of 32, maybe 28 out of 32. It's whether they're playing there 5 years from now. Now I think it gets pared down dramatically.
That's kind of what I mean. Now, how many are actually going to make it and be big-time players, you know? How many times do you see former number one draft pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers and he's playing for Cleveland, you know?
Right. Well, I think what happens is this. People, I think the way sports is today is things look too easy to people.
Yeah.
You see one or two high school guys that then go to college, and then when they get there on a given team and do really, really well, and forget about like the fact that the other 22, you know, most of them redshirted, needed some time. Everybody's on their own clock because it's a big jump from high school to college. Just the really, really good ones just make it look easy. Same thing with the college to the NFL. It's a chasm. I mean, to go from college to the NFL, it's a gigantic leap. And I'm not sure people appreciate how big of a leap it is, because highlight packages always make things look easier than they really are.
Well, like I said earlier, I mean, the game is faster. You know, Barkley runs a 4.340. Well, so does the linebacker. You know, the game is faster, and you've got to, can you elevate yourself to that next level like you always have, or have you reached that level and you can't elevate it anymore? You have to be able to elevate your level when you get to the NFL to be. And all that being said, I think the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL should watch the Stanley Cup. Hockey does it right. Hockey, to me, that they don't do the glitz, they don't do the glamour, they just go out and play. It's the closest professional sport to college football there is. Because once you get in the Stanley Cup tournament, man, it is fun. I love watching Pittsburgh.
Well, okay, that wraps it up for this week.
Yeah.
Great to have everybody with us. We'll be back on Monday on News Radio 1070 WKOK.